Humility. It's all through our readings today. Humility. We grow in humility by being humbled. Like the other day, when I was driving and listening to the radio. I was listening to Cool 105, the oldies station. And a song came on, because it's the radio. And it was a song that was popular when I was a little kid mowing lawns on the oldies station. Humbling. Humbling. But is that really humbling? Right. It depends on what we mean by humility. How do we define humility? Some say, or some have a view of humility, that we think less of ourselves. An example of this is if you pay someone a compliment and they say, no, 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 no. And they can't receive the compliment. But dear brothers and sisters, that is not humility. That's actually false humility, and it's a mask for pride. But if that were the going definition of humility, then no, this song wasn't humbling because it didn't make me think less of myself. I've also heard it said that humility isn't thinking less of ourselves, but it's thinking of ourselves less. Well, this is a bit closer to what it actually is. And certainly it's always good to be considerate of others and keeping them at the forefront of our minds. But humility, as we'll see, does require that we do consider ourselves. And the fact that this song really kind of brought my own existence and my experience to the forefront of my mind means that this is not, by this definition, the song was not humbling. So what is humility? What is humility? Humility is an honest estimation of who we are before God, and also before each other, but primarily, who are we before God? Who am I and who is God? The song that I heard, it made me think about the passage of time. It made me think about my own mortality. And it made me think of the joys of innocent youth. And all of these things can direct our minds to God, as it did with me. And so in this sense, yes, hearing that song on the oldies station was humbling. Practically speaking, the gospel today, it gives good advice. It certainly gives good advice. We might think that we're good at something, that we have some position. But we're not always the best judges of ourselves, are we? There might be someone who's better than us. And so it is good advice to be humble, to take the lower spot, so as to avoid the awkward situation of being asked to move down. But the gospel is about much more than just practical considerations. Because the Christian life is not just about this life. It's about eternity. This life is fleeting. This life is fleeting. So this gospel, it's not just about how to live today. It's about how to live for forever. The gospel, it's a parable. It's a parable about the wedding feast of the king, the wedding feast of the lamb. It's a parable about heaven. Humility, dear brothers and sisters, is essential. And I cannot make this clear enough. We will not, myself included, go to heaven if we are proud, if we are prideful. Let me say that again. We will not, myself included, go to heaven if we are proud or prideful. Because if we're prideful, then we think that we don't need God's mercy. Pride is the very first sin. It's the sin of the fallen angels. In Paradise Lost, the devil says that it's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. That is pride. Dear brothers and sisters, none of us can claim for ourselves to be in heaven. None of us deserve eternal joy. None of us can earn everlasting life. The fact that God opens the doors to the wedding feast for us shows simply his goodness, his love, his mercy, his generosity. And that, brothers and sisters, is why humility is essential for eternal life. Because we have no bargaining chips before God. We come before him and all we can say is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. St. Catherine of Siena is one of the greatest saints in our tradition. Jesus would appear to her, and they would just talk. And in one of these conversations, Christ described for St. Catherine an image of the spiritual life. And the image was one of a tree. And this tree is the tree of love, the tree of charity. The fruits of this tree are the virtues. And around the base of the tree is a ring. And we still see that, certainly, from time to time, in trees, maybe in our own yards, maybe out on public land, a ring around the base of the tree. And this ring is our knowledge of God and of ourselves. Within this ring is the soil that the tree of love is planted in. And this soil, our Lord told St. Catherine, is humility. It's humility. Humility is the ground where love is able to grow. And humility is the ground from which all virtues burst forth. Fittingly, then, does G.K. Chesterton, a British intellectual and Catholic writer, say that pride dries up. It dries up laughter. It dries up wonder. It dries up energy and chivalry, he says. So if our foundation, if our ground is pride, then the soil will be dry, hard, rocky, and the tree of love languishes. On the other hand, if it's the rich, fertile soil of humility, then the tree can flourish. So how do we build this foundation? How do we cultivate this soil? How do we grow in humility? If humility is about who we are and who God is, then there are two routes. Who am I and who is God? On the first route, who am I? There's a prayer, and it's called the Litany of Humility. Some of you may have heard of it. I would encourage you all to go check it out. You can find it easily online. And to pray this prayer, this Litany of Humility, it really helps us to accept our littleness. But beware, it's powerful. It is powerful. A nun once told me, if you know someone who's just started praying this prayer, just avoid them for about 2 weeks. Stay away, because they will be in humiliating situation after humiliating situation. So just avoid them for about 2 weeks. It's powerful, but it is very beautiful. It's a beautiful prayer. And it helps us to understand our littleness. So in the second route, on the other hand, is to grow in our appreciation for God's greatness. And the best way that we can do this, brothers and sisters, is Eucharistic adoration. To spend just some time each week in adoration. We've got the adoration chapel right here. If you don't know the code, you can call the parish office. But to spend some time adoring our Lord, just like the Magi and the shepherds did when he was first born, to adore the King of the universe. When we do that, we realize that we are small and that God is much, much bigger than us. And yet, despite the fact that he is so far beyond us, he wants us to be with him. That is humbling. Our model for humility is Christ our Lord. He's our model. Why? Because he is the creator of the universe, and he becomes part of his creation. That'd be like me, becoming a letter on this page, choosing to do that. And then multiply that gap, that difference, times about infinity. But not only does the creator become part of creation, the Lord of life lets himself die so that we can live. That is humility. But God does not stop there. He goes even lower. The creator becomes his creation. The Lord of life lets himself die, and he goes even lower. In a few minutes, he will become present here on this altar under the appearance of bread and wine. God becomes our food to raise us up from below. He lowers himself beneath us to lift us up with the Eucharistic graces. He is our model of humility. Dear brothers and sisters, while the gospel today might provide good advice about social conventions and our daily life, it does not provide good advice about eternal life. It does not provide good advice about eternal life because it provides essential advice about eternal life. We need humility. And so we ask our Lord to help us be humble, right? We're never so great as when we're humble. And we are never raised up so high as when we fall on our knees before the Lord. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.